All right. Hopefully this will be the last day on this understanding of the sin offering. Okay, the offerings are starting from the last to first. The offer, that's the way they're presented in the Bible. The last offering is presented first. It's the burnt offering, then the peace offering, then the meal offering, then the trespass offering, our sin offering, then the trespass offering. The burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering are called the sweet savor offerings, because as they're burned, the odor from the burning is a sweet savor unto God.
They're also like free will offerings.
Yeah, but that's different. That's not part of this main offering stuff. Mm-hmm. The free will offering applies to other things you do, like giving money and stuff. Mm-hmm. But in the sweet savor offerings, there was a total consumption on the altar. It showed God had accepted it as the sweet savor offering. Now remember, in 2 Corinthians, we are called the sweet savor of God, sweet savor offering unto God. To the one it says we are always a sweet savor. Well, let me read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Now, that refers directly to the three sweet savor offerings. And that means that that's who you are, the peace offering, the meal offering. What's the other one? Burnt offering. So those are the three sweet savor offerings. And Paul is saying we are always a sweet savor unto God. We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. And so the whole mystery is, you are always a sweet savor unto God if you are living the cross. To the one you're a savor of life unto life, to the other you're a savor of death unto death, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Because the ones that are not a sweet savor are the ones that reject it, or which corrupt the word of God, those that add water to the wine for the purposes of commerce, or better yet, they create a gospel that is favorable or pleasing to men, therefore they've corrupted the word of God. So, but in the trespass offering and the sin offering, the offering was cast out and burned, not on God's table, the altar, but it was outside the camp, outside the door, which represented Gehenna. Remember, everything outside the door was called outer darkness. There's no neutral ground. You're either in or you're out. And that endured the judgment of God, cast out of his presence and the presence of his people, accursed and dead and forever separated. Only the unblemished sin offering. The sin offering required more perfection than any others. They had to meet the standard of the burnt offering, the peace offering, the meal offering, and the trespass offering, and the sin offering had to meet all those standards before it could be the sin offering. One blemish, either within or without, made it unacceptable. Now, it is good to think about this from the standpoint of Jesus Christ. He was perfect. He met every standard of God. He was yet rejected in the sin offering. He was accursed of God, cast out of the tabernacle, without the camp as unclean. Now we can start to maybe begin to see the majesty of Christ's offering. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2.
Where are we going?
1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief and suffereth wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if you do well and suffer for it, yea, take it patiently, this is what's acceptable unto God. For even hereunto you were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Now let's go to one more. Romans 6. Start in verse 1. Well, let's start in chapter 5, verse 19, I'm sorry. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We could spend all week on that one. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in that, and there should be a article or in that newness of life, his life. For if we had been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also, And notice, in the likeness isn't in the text, it's in italics. We shall be also of resurrection. We are now of resurrection because he alone was resurrected. We are of immortality because he alone is immortal. Everybody understand that? It's all him. But you can't see it's all him unless you see the fullness of the sin offering. And you can't see the fullness of the sin offering if you believe there's any good within you. Bottom line. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, us, might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, but it should be by means of him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, or dead unto self, but alive unto God through or by means of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, but only if you're dead. If only if you see yourself as dead. Amen? You can't see yourself as dead, because you will somehow take his resurrection just to sort of improve on your life. No. What are you doing, Gary?
Well, this dead thing, like if you don't understand that, you might as well shut the book. It makes all the difference in how you see the scriptures. Seeing
your death, just everything, dead into him. Can you imagine? Just put yourself where Jesus was, not through the suffering or the stripes or the beatings, but through that moment, just in that one moment, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? A son of man, he suffered that feeling so completely. That you do not have to be forsaken. He was cast out that we might be brought near, in him, through him, by him. We were reconciled by his death, but we shall be saved by his life alone. Not his life improving us. Now, one of the most interesting things about the difference between sin and trespass offering. When the trespass offering, the man laid his hands, or they laid their hands on the sacrifice. And then they said, we have committed trespass, and they enumerated the trespasses. So you don't really see the person, you see the trespass. In the sin offering, there was nothing enumerated. Because in the sin offering, you don't see the trespass, you see the person. You see the nature. Your nature is sin. The trespass are the fruit of that nature, the fruit of the tree. This is why when you continue to have opinions in time and space, you make that sacrifice meaningless. When you continue to have purposes in time and space, you make his sacrifice meaningless. Does everybody buy that?
What'd you say? You continue to have purpose in time and space.
No, continue to have.
That what you said?
Purposes, external.
Causes.
Huh?
Causes and things like that.
Politics, opinions, what's good, what's bad. Now Thursday night we're going to take that pomegranate, originally that had the 613 seeds in it, and we're going to toss it, hopefully with great vigor, at that altar. And that is a testimony with physicality that we no longer judge for ourselves what's right and wrong, good and evil. That we live in that total moment of dependence and nothing else. But I promise you, every day something will transpire where you'll be tempted to make that judgment of good and evil. And that's what happened at the fall. Go to Genesis 3 one more time.
Along these lines, a minute ago, you were talking something about, I guess, the day of baptism, the sweet savor. It's like, from man's point of view, we cling to life desperately. And yet from God's point of view, life and death are just not the same.
No, there's no life. Chapter 3, verse 1. Well, in verse 25 of chapter 2, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God knoweth that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's it. That's man. That's the evidence of the fall. The desire, even, or the thinking that you know good and evil. That's the fall. Because you now are as gods, kind of stupid gods, but you are as gods knowing good and evil. As opposed to innocence. Remember, Rosh Hashanah was called by the ancient rabbis the Feast of Naivety, or being naive. The Feast of Innocence, because of innocence no longer needing good and evil. And that was manifested at the birth of Christ. Except you be converted and become as that little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It means that you are as that little child before he was aware of self. You return to innocence, and that innocence is tested again, just as it was in the garden, but now the innocence is tested in a thousand ways, but it's all about the same test. You want to know good and evil. But we have another picture now. We have now a picture that Adam and Eve didn't have. We have the New Jerusalem. We have eternity. We have being out of time. We have the capacity to redeem the time because the days are evil.
What does that mean, the days are evil?
This is what it says.
Look around you.
Because everybody that's in time and space, that is subject to time, is of the evil one. Therefore, evil. We don't see that. We see shades of evil and shades of goodness. We see, we rank people, we rank sin, we rank trespass. It's black and white. That's what's, again, the failure of the modern church is the confusion of sin and trespass. Everybody understands trespass, but they confuse it and think trespass is sin, and sin is trespass. Sin is nature. Your nature, the nature of man, is evil. That's why Jesus said, call no man good, even him after the flesh. It's revealed in Jacob and Esau. He said, Jacob have I loved. Before they were born, he said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Before they'd done anything. Why? Because he saw in Jacob that Jacob would recognize his evilness and confess that he was the Antichrist, and therefore he could fulfill the purpose of being a vessel. Or Esau just lived his life. Even though he sought carefully repentance with tears, it was not there. He couldn't repent. Now that's the nature. If you're Esau, and you're going to do good things, you're going to think good thoughts, but you'll be shocked on Judgment Day. Now this is the kind of stuff that gets people killed. This is why you shall be hated of all men. Because you're a threat to every form of thought there is on the face of the earth at any given season or time or generation. Sin. Our trespasses for our fruit. Sin is for our nature. Tree, the good tree can't bear bad fruit. The bad tree can't bear good fruit. That's the whole idea. Now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. As I said before, in the trespass offering, the trespasses are enumerated. In the sin offering, there's no enumeration. You just see the man. the man as the sin. And every one of us has to see that they are that man that is the sin. And the sin offering has to die. Let's go to Romans 15 a minute. I mean, not Romans, 1 Corinthians 15. We started late, so we're going to go a little late. Start in verse 49. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption, and all corruption means is that which changes with time or denigrates with time. The second law of thermodynamics. And if you don't believe you denigrate with time, look at Gary.
Happy birthday to you.
No, just look at that picture of Gary when he was doing this iron cross. It looks like he was flying on the cover of some magazine. And look at him today.
He was flying high. I can still do that.
Yeah, right. In your dreams.
Yeah.
Behold, I show you a mystery.
Where are you reading from?
Oh, we're now at 1 Corinthians 15. Now we're in verse 51.
You skipped 49. You said 49.
No,
we're up to 50.
That's right.
Well, how about that? Well, just for that, we're going to start back at verse 42.
Okay.
So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body, and so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed or transfigured. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be transfigured. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. That's an incredible statement. The strength of sin is the law. And so what happens, most people try to show their righteousness by the law. But the only purpose of the law is to show your sin. And the strength of sin is the law. It's an incredible statement.
And to show that righteousness on your own is impossible.
It's just stupid. But thanks to the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through or by the means of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What you got to worry about is seeing yourself as dead.
Yeah, the law has no effect on the dead man.
But you can't resurrect yourself for a little while or little things. And go back and then I'm going to go back to the other. You can't be double-minded. That's what double-minded means. You can't have your foot in two kingdoms. One is time and space. All who dwell on the earth are deceived. Not some. Our dwelling place is the New Jerusalem.
Is there any righteousness in a fully repented man? Utterly, totally repented man?
Christ. Yeah, Jesus Christ. That's the only righteousness. I'm sorry, I spoke irrationally. We've got to spend one more day on sin off. Or something. Whatever I did it.
Of course, you spoke ideally.
Anybody have any thoughts, any response to any of this?
Ooh. You know, just trying to get a hold of this.
Let it get a hold of you.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen to that.
Yeah, the carnal mind can't make sense of it, so stop trying. Let it, like you say, let it apprehend you.
Again, let me tell you. I spent all those years trying to prove it was wrong. Three years alone on these offerings. What?
You're stubborn.
Well, it's because I'm an idiot.
I think you're saying it's better.
Quickly, take it, big guy.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Take it out of here.